Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You cannot pass!
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 65. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins. I'll stop moving my mic. Episode 65. What's going on?
We're four away from the good number.
Yeah.
That's funny online.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the...
Yeah.
Yeah, the funny Twitter number.
2013 funny number.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think normal week for us. Normal stuff. We actually just made a fun Wes Anderson video with Donnie. Donnie will be coming on to review The Meg and Black Klansman in a few weeks. We made a Wes Anderson-style Rangoon, a.k.a. Gooned-up video with Donnie. You can find it on our Twitter page, Reddit, and BarstoolSports.com. I think it came out pretty funny. It's very Wes Anderson-y. We shot it like a Wes Anderson movie. And popcorn, cream cheese, and movie theater butter, not a bad Rangoon. Pretty good. Actually, that's underselling it. It's a good Rangoon. A Rangoon with popcorn, cream cheese, movie theater butter, chocolate-covered gummy bears, and cookie dough bites, not good.
No, that doesn't sound good to me.
Something
but
about
the first one sounds all right.
Yeah, the first one's good. Warm gummy bears, like, into, like, gelatinous mess is just, it didn't work. It didn't work out.
You got to get the cold gummy bears. Whenever I go to one of those Froyo places, I always put gummy bears on mine. Then they get nice and cold, and they're just hardened up like jujubes.
Oh, well, we froze them, but the deep fryer just destroyed them.
So. Aren't jujubes one of the worst candies ever? Well, like, jujifruits and jujubes are pretty bad.
Good and plenty up
there. Jujifruit is only still around because of Seinfeld. Like,
that's true.
If Elaine hadn't gotten jujifruit, if it had been another snack, that should have been off the shelves years ago.
Wait, Trill, you're a good and plenty guy, aren't you? Or making that up?
Yeah, I'm a big black licorice guy in general, so I know I'm not in the majority. I got the candy taste of an 80-year-old.
Got that peppermint and that like what, weird strawberry candy that every grandma has, but no one knows the name of.
We need we need D speaking back on the podcast. We need Ravel back on.
Yeah, we do. Hey, have you been playing Fortnite? Season 5's out, Jeff.
I have been 50 on 50. Yeah.
All right.
Fun
okay,
stuff.
I just need to check in on Fortnite. I've retired from Fortnite since having a kid. So
that's totally fair.
Yeah, we've asked you to play, but you just don't reply.
I don't. I don't say anything.
Because you feel bad, I think.
No, I just, you know the answer.
Well, you did actually, so after the Sunday pod, you did say you were thinking about doing it. To be fair, to our credit, you did tease that.
I was in a good space thinking I was going to have some extra time. It never really cleared up for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll be on tonight, though. I'll think about getting on tonight after the podcast.
Think about getting on tonight.
It's like the goodwill. It's the goodwill fake promise. So we got to talk about Skyscraper. We saw Skyscraper. We're going to review it with The Rock, which, by the way, speaking of The Rock, I'm going to call out Ravel here. He humble bragged to me this morning. He said, did you see The Rock called me D on Twitter this morning? And sure enough, The Rock referred to Ravel as D. And so I said,
damn.
Okay, you're pretty close. Tell him to come on the pod here. Tell The Rock to join us. So it's now in Darren's hands, at least for now. So make sure you tweet at Ravel and tell him help get The Rock on Lights, Camera, Pod. You have full clearance to do that. If you call him a nerd, you're getting blocked from Lights Camera Pod, though. That's a stipulation. You can't call him a nerd.
Or a P-boy.
Yeah. None of that.
We're the pro-Robel podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
he's got a brand and he sticks to it. And there's nothing I can appreciate more than that.
Yeah. Speaking of Revell, the Revell Times. You read the Revell Times this morning, Trill?
Only when you send them to me. So lots of movie news.
Lots of movie news in them. But there's a lot of new trailers out. Speaking of news, and there's a reason for that. It's Comic-Con week. Comic-Con comes at a time where we can't talk about it till Sunday because it starts tomorrow. If you're listening on Thursday, the 19th, it starts today. So Comic-Con is this week, though there's going to be a ton of stuff to talk about on our Sunday pod. But for now, there are a lot of trailers, a lot of interesting trailers, especially some that came out earlier in the week. There's one we missed from last week we'll get to. But first up, Bohemian Rhapsody. Second trailer for Bohemian Rhapsody, the much-talked-about Freddie Mercury but also mostly Queen movie. This was originally going to be Sacha Baron Cohen, who left the project because it was, you know, the too many strings being pulled from the studio and Queen, and it wasn't the movie he wanted to make. And now it's more of a combined Freddie Mercury Queen movie. Do we like the second trailer? Because I like the second trailer a little more than I like the first, because I was pretty much on the fence with the first one.
Yeah, I'll hold the same line I've held since the inception of the podcast, and that this is, I'd rather have the Sacha Baron Cohen one. They do such a good job with the music in these two trailers that it does get me excited for the movie. And Malik does a really good job as Freddie Mercury. I do want to point out, I thought it was funny, speaking of the whole making it more of a Queen movie, that they specifically pointed out that another member of the band Queen wrote We Will Rock You in the trailer.
Did they really?
Did you notice that? He's like, I want to write something that the fans can sing or the fans can play.
I didn't notice that part. I did actually like the first trailer a little bit more, though, I have to say, just because the way they meshed the music and also lined it up to like certain cues within the trailer visually, I thought that was more interesting. It was nicer to see get more of a grasp of what they're actually going to do within the movie in the second trailer, because the first one is more just like, hey, look, it's Queen, and we're playing the songs you like from Queen. And the second one is a little bit more like, oh, okay, so this is actually like the nuts and bolts of what you're going to watch. So that was nice. I'm excited for the movie. And Rob Malek does look a lot like Freddie Mercury in the trailer.
He actually looks a lot like Pete Davidson at points.
With the giant ass teeth.
It just looks like Pete. It looks like Rami Malek playing Pete Davidson playing Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
He still does look like him, though. I guess it just lends to the fact that Pete Davidson kind of looks like Freddie Mercury, I'm sure, dressed up like him. I can't say I'm very excited for it. I'm very on the fence, and I think it's just the fact that I know there's a better Queen movie probably out there somewhere, or a better Freddie Mercury movie, and I hope we see it one day. But I will say this, it'll be a satisfying movie in theaters for one thing only, at least, and that's that you get to listen to Queen for 2 hours. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Are they going to just dub over the, like, Malik performing with actual Queen songs, or is it going to be...
Let me look that up.
Because that's a tough one. You have some movies where, like, Jamie Foxx actually sung in Ray, right?
Did he?
He did sing in Ray, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the big thing about that. He was, like, insane because he sang, too.
The difference is like, that takes an insane level of talent. And Malik's very talented, but Freddie Mercury has a every 1,000 years type of voice.
Yeah.
It's really tough to replicate. There are some people I've seen on YouTube that can come close, but they're not actors. So I'm really wondering what they'll do here. I'm going to guess they're going to dub over it with hopefully live performances, because one of the things I hate is when they take a studio song and make a live performance out of it in a movie, which is what they did in the Tupac movie.
Yeah. Oh, that was so bad.
I don't know. I can't really tell. I can't tell. And yeah, I mean, the live performances, especially with Queen and Freddie Mercury, I mean, there are so many he's so well known for. You see a couple at the end there. I think the Wembley one, then the
Live Aid
at the end.
Live Aid.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I can't find it in a quick Google. I'll have to look after. Maybe we can have an answer on Sunday. If anyone knows, tweet us the article, because that's actually something we haven't really researched. But Bohemian Rhapsody... second trailer is out. That's probably going to be the last main trailer. That movie comes out in November. It could be another one, but I doubt it. That's already two full trailers. So Bohemian Rhapsody. Moving on to Overlord, by J.J. Abrams. It's a World War II monster movie. It's a zombie movie, really. Like, they look like zombies, right?
Yeah.
This was rumored to potentially be a Cloverfield movie, which is like anything that's like horror-based or like has monsters or some weird shit going on. It's just rumored to be a Cloverfield movie. Because we actually talked about that, right?
About having another one after a...
I literally, as I just said that, remember that. Because we talked about a World War II-based like Cloverfield movie back when we reviewed that shitty one that came out on Netflix.
Something Paradox?
Cloverfield Paradox. Oh, yeah. So this is that movie we talked about way back. If you go listen to the Cloverfield episode, we actually do talk about it. I may have to listen to it later on and figure out what we said.
Hmm.
But no, it is not a Cloverfield movie. It's a World War II monster zombie movie. I don't know. I don't really know what to think on this one. Again, this came out today, which is Wednesday the 18th, and I haven't formed an opinion yet because it's J.J. Abrams, and I usually trust him. He didn't do Paradox.
Well, he's producing this, though. He's not directing it.
Yeah, but usually
he produced Paradox, too, though, right?
Did he produce Paradox? Or was
he involved in it.
Maybe executive producer.
Yeah, I know he's involved with this one, and I know that that Bad Robot is heavily involved. And typically when he's involved in that sense...
Yeah, he produced Cloverfield Paradox, too.
Mm, interesting. Okay, well, then I'm even more on the fence about this.
This one looks a lot more fun than Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, yeah.
So I liked it. What I liked is the relatively unknown cast.
Mm.
And again, they did that in Cloverfield Paradox as well. But this one seems like it's a lot more exciting. Going back to last episode, though, somewhat burnt out on zombies.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it looks like exciting and kind of scary and creepy, which you know, checks all the boxes for stuff I like, so I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think it's cool because the actual Overlord, like Operation Overlord was the name for D-Day, and the name Overlord is inherently like a cool monster name, like or a monster movie name, so I thought that was a cool mix-up. The trailer itself looked weird. I mentioned on Twitter, at first I said it looked like, I don't remember what I said, like Duke Nukem or something stupid, but what I meant was it looked like Wolfenstein, and it does look a lot like Wolfenstein. It's just fucking Nazi zombies from Call of Duty. It's like the same vein, more or less, and I don't know. It's never, zombie movies, like we were saying a lot last episode, it's just they're fading away, and I don't know if this is the right time to try and rejuvenate it by switching the setting to World War II. The invasion of France.
Yeah, and it... So I actually... I was wrong on the J.J. Abrams thing, because I guess in my head I thought he was directing. But it's not completely definitive it's not a Cloverfield movie, but it very much doesn't look like a Cloverfield movie. This would be quite the leap, because we haven't seen anything quite like this with Cloverfield, at least zombies. We've seen some like alien-type shit, so maybe they can connect it that way, but as of now, it doesn't look like it. I mean... I don't know. You're right, Joe. It does look more fun. But the funny thing about Cloverfield Paradox is that we never really had a trailer to, like, marinate. It was just out. The trailer released, and they said, this movie's out, like, now, basically. So you didn't really know what to expect. This one, I can see it being fun, but I don't know. I guess I'm still viewing it as a Cloverfield, or, like, what I expect from what we first heard. So it remains to be seen. But zombies. Let's move on from zombies.
There's at least two Game of Thrones actors in this one, though.
Is there
which,
really?
A little trivia. Yeah. Euron Greyjoy and the Worm.
Really? Well,
the Grey Worm.
Euron Greyjoy only had like two episodes worth of Game of Thrones. So that's not a ton to work off.
I'm not debating the quantity and what qualifies as a Game of Thrones actor. I'm just saying they have two actors who are in Game of Thrones.
It's like being like, Ian McShane's in this movie from Game of Thrones when Ian McShane was in one episode.
Look, if we can just give our audience something to have a factoid for somebody who doesn't watch movies to make them think they're really smart about movies, then I've done my job.
I think the better actor to mention from this is Ian DeCaestaker, who is from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He plays the Scottish guy. His name is Fitz. It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Go watch it for some reason. It's not that good, but it's okay. First two seasons are okay.
What's the female character in that?
Chloe Bennett.
She's dating
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, yeah.
Like a very smart person and with a rational brain would do.
Welcome to Marwen. That's the next trailer. This has got lots of Oscar potential, I think. Visually stunning. Stars Steve Carell, gunning for that Oscar nomination again. He was nominated for the wrestling movie.
Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher, yeah, which was a true story. And this one's based on a true story as well. He plays Mark Hogenkamp, a victim of a violent assault. He was a World War II artist, and he constructs a miniature World War II village in his yard to help in his recovery. And it is, I mean, again, visuals are incredible. Co-written and directed by Robert Zemeckis, too.
Yep.
The old Zemeckis cube.
Damn it. I was trying to find the Back to the Future like flourish.
You still have
time. Just do it visually. Do it yourself, a cappella.
It's inspired by a documentary, Morwen Call, which came out in 2010. You can watch that as well. You have Janelle Monáe's in it, Leslie Mann as well, Gwendolyn Christie, Diane Kruger. Obviously, Steve Carell is the lead. It looks – this was the second trailer, right, that came out today? Or is it like just a bit different than the first one? I know there's a new one that came out today.
Yeah, this is trailer two, the one that we were referencing.
Yeah, so we haven't had a chance to talk about it. And this movie, man, it looks like quite something here.
Yeah, I think it looked pretty cool. It sort of looks like an offshoot of his character from Dinner for Schmucks, who just plays with dead mice that he taxiderms. I don't know if that's a verb. God. But he
probably a little deeper than that.
He uses it for his therapy. The weirder part that they mentioned in the movie is that like he says, like, I can't afford therapy, so I use the dolls. But like that shit has to be super expensive, right? Like going to like a doll shop and buying like authentic G.I. Joe shit that from like World War II, that has to be like not an equivalent cost of therapy, but like close enough, right?
I don't know. You've
thought about Welcome to Morwen more than any other human alive.
Dude, this was in my I blogged the first trailer like a month ago. Yeah. That was my first thought was like, seems like the equivalent cost of therapy almost. Unless, I don't know, he just stops buying after a certain point. But it looked really good. I totally agree. It's probably going to get Oscar hype by the time it comes out. And it's a heartwarming story. It's true. It's based off a true one. So that usually rings a lot of bells in the Academy Award community.
I like it, but here's my worry. I'm worried it's this year's downsizing.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of has that feel to it. Where it's
based
just,
off a true story, too.
Well, it's just...
when I got kicked out of my house, my wife.
It's ambitious. They're doing some cool camera tricks. I like the way they make them look like dolls in the trailer, which is really neat. So it's getting that hype, but I'm kind of worried. But it's got Zemeckis. It's got the Zemeckis man behind it, and it's got the cast, so... I'm excited. There's no reason to not be excited. I always get worried when something like this has huge Oscar hype with a comedic actor or anything like that, because it always feels disappointing. Because I want to see Steve Carell get an Oscar. That would be awesome.
Imagine downsized Matt Damon is somehow part of this universe. He shows up towards the Morrowind set. He's like, hey, you guys want to drink human-sized vodka? That's a pretty cool gimmick, right? That's my favorite part of the movie.
What about Stuart Little?
Yeah, the car. Oh, fuck. Let's get the car involved.
He, it looks incredible. So I think that's where I'll land with why I think it's going to, I think, be better than Downsizing. Like, Downsizing looked cool, but it was just like the concept was neat. This looks like something that is going to wow people. I mean, the CGI of the dolls with, like, the faces moving and, like, Steve Carell's real face, it looks like something we haven't really seen before. You know, I mean, this is not like going to move mountains, but it's still something that it's unique. It's different. And we always harp on this podcast about seeing things that are different. So it looks like we're going to get that with this. It just, but if the story lands, the story has to land, because that was the problem with Downsizing. Though it's hard to land when the story doesn't really go anywhere to begin with, because that was also Downsizing. So I hope those concerns are not something that's going to ring true, because that would be really
bummer. It may not remind anybody else of that. It's just a feel. I just whenever something has Oscar hype like this, I'm always on the fence about whether or not it actually would be an Oscar type movie. But I'm pretty sure it'll be better than The Post. So it could be an Oscar movie. It deserves to be in over the. I'll give it to it right now. It's a better movie than The Post. You can put that in the marketing materials.
True bombs,
put that in the next trailer. Better movie than The Post already.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Declarative statements. We're not a very declarative podcast. We're typically pretty lenient both ways and easygoing. That was a declarative statement. I like that. Declarative trill.
We're room temperature takes.
Yes, I know. We always say that on Reddit, which I love our Reddit. r/lightscamerapodcast. Go on there. That's the best place to interact with us, because this is a little bit of a tangent, but ever since we got that old blue check on Twitter, it filters a lot more of our mentions. We don't get many mentions, which sucks because we like interacting with people. So Reddit, we definitely see almost everything. And you can go on there and accuse us of hot takes that are actually room temperature. Well, last one. We got to move on. Boy Erased, which is a coming-of-age drama starring, come on,
Lucas Hedges.
Lucas Hedges has the fucking best track record of
best
any
agent.
I mean, like, think about this for a second. If we, like, boiled it down to, like, per movie, like, I don't know. Like, there's, I'm sure, like, a baseball sabermetric way of saying that. But, like, he probably has the best, like, portfolio in the history of acting, like, right now. Like, per movie, like movie to Oscar comparison. It's insane.
The guy who played Fredo from The Godfather, I think every movie he ever acted in was nominated for an Academy Award. I think he's the only person even close. But then he died, like, right after, not Godfather, Gattaca or whatever that it was.
I mean, Moonrise Kingdom, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Manchester by the Sea, Lady Bird, Three Billboards, and now Boy Erased, which, I mean, is very clearly going to be a movie that also, again, sticks around for much of the year. That's another November 2nd movie. Nicole Kidman's also in it, Russell Crowe, Joel Edgerton. And the thing about this movie is Joel Edgerton is actually the director and the writer. Very interesting, though, on that. So we'll see if Joel Edgerton makes his way up to the stage come Oscar season, a.k.a. Uncle Owen from Star Wars.
Hey, Russell Crowe? Thick boy.
Yeah.
In this trailer.
We were just saying that on the way in. We're like, damn. Slim thick.
Like he did that Christian Bale.
Oh, the Dick Cheney diet?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked good.
Did you know the other movie that Joel Edgerton directed?
Was it the horror one?
Yeah. The Gift.
What was it called? Oh, no.
You seen The Gift?
I was thinking of
it. Well, it is a horror. I mean, it's a thriller.
What's the one that came out last
year? Oh, yeah. That's the one where
Jason Bateman's in it, Rebecca
he's
Hall.
He's like the stalker or whatever, right? He's like really creepy.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a very good movie. It was my surprise of 2015. It was awesome. Yeah. So, also, I think it was a Blumhouse movie.
Was it really
a Blumhouse movie. Fuck, of course it was. Actually, is Boy Erased a Blumhouse movie?
I mean, damn. They got Oscar contenders out.
It's not. It's a Focus Features movie.
You know what's weird, by the way, before I forget? There was another movie that came out that I saw the trailer for last week called The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which is about the same exact subject material. It's about a girl getting sent to a gay away camp, like a Christian thing. And it stars Chloe Grace Moretz. And I don't know what it is. It looks like almost exactly the same, like the same everything down the line, except that it's an indie studio, not a bigger studio.
Same cinematic universe.
Yeah. Oh, before I forget, Flea is in this movie.
In Boy Erased?
Yeah, Boy Erased.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Flea has a supporting role. Flea might win an Oscar.
I didn't realize that.
I will say that of all the trailers, this was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like it's heavy, dynamic. It seems like a much more depressing coming-of-age movie than the ones we've seen.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Eighth Grade very briefly later on, because we're going to have a review tomorrow. But lots of coming-of-age movies recently, and it always seems like Lucas Hedges is in them, or his role is a coming-of-age role. I guess that is because of his age. But it's a Joel Edgerton film, his second directed movie after The Gift, and this one looks pretty damn good. And again, very heavy. Let's move on. Comic-Con, and then we'll wrap this up and we'll go into Skyscraper review. Lots going to be happening at Comic-Con. We've had Aquaman images and a magazine cover. We've had Shazam, of the first official looks of the Shazam costume. And guess what? More fighting between the people involved with Shazam and fans over the costume. We have Glass. The trailer is going to be coming out for Glass on Friday. Very excited for that one. The hype is huge on Glass, which I don't know if I can say I didn't expect it, but like, if you would have told me this going into Split last year, that like, hey, this is going to be not only considered very good by most people, but there's going to be a crossover next year with another M. Night movie and people are going to be going crazy. I mean, I would have never expected. But it makes sense now. So that's getting a lot of hype. And then Godzilla King of Monsters, it seems like that'll be getting a trailer at Comic-Con as well. And a bunch of other things too. Could be some surprises. Marvel does not have a panel. So there will most likely, I mean, like 99% sure there will be no Marvel news.
They're like, you guys are fucking sick of us.
Well, they didn't go last year either. or the year before. I think they're just like, yeah, we don't need this shit. Like, they really don't. Like, they don't need to be at Comic-Con. What's the one thing you want to see most? Maybe the thing that you're most on the fence about? I don't know. Have some fun with this one. Comic-Con thoughts. Because there's a lot so far. And there's a lot of negativity, too. People are just roasting and dunking on things, especially Aquaman and Shazam.
The Aquaman roast has been the Getty stock photo of the shark placed in the poster, which I didn't think was that big of a deal. I feel like that's a common practice.
I assume it is, too. Also, it's like people were saying, what do you want them to go take pictures of sharks? Which I get. Also, the thread that you sent to us, Ken Jack, is it's so lame underneath. Yeah. It's just DC and Marvel fans fighting with each other and showing like mistakes in Marvel posters and mistakes in DC. It's like, oh my God. Look, can we just get the fucking trailer for this movie already? Can we move on past images? It's the same thing about Shazam, too. It's like, if you're so concerned, I feel like we've talked about this a million times, probably because we have, but if you're so fucking concerned and bothered by the arguing about the suit, do something else. Release something else besides the fucking suit. Like, that's why it's all people talk about. Because the only thing you've released, and it does look silly. I mean, like, I'm sorry. It looks ridiculous. I don't think it looks awful. It
looks inflatable.
I think it looks better than those set images, which I expect because they put CGI in it. People are comparing it to Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. So they don't like that. They're like, come on, like, that's not what it looks like, blah, blah, blah. Like, the directors are getting mad. But again, if you want to move on from the suit talk, release some other shit, which it seems like they are going to do.
They control the narrative in this situation. Like, the only person that could fix this is them by releasing this. Like, it's not on anyone else by themselves.
I do appreciate how they've taken, like, the windy social media approach of, like, just telling people to go fuck themselves now.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, fuck off.
Like, hey, yeah, except like, Wendy's, like you know their food is okay. And, like, with DC, it's like, hey, all of our stuff has, like, not been that good. But you can fuck yourself. So it's like, maybe you're the ones, you guys are the ones that are wrong.
But maybe the movie industry is picking up on this turning tide that, you know, brands used to cater to the customers back in 2014. And now they just fucking tell them to eat shit whenever they complain.
Have you ever thought about being mean to Wendy's on Twitter, but then you're not because they make you eat shit?
I wouldn't be mean to Wendy's on Twitter. I don't want that. I don't want that in my mentions, man. I don't want all the Wendy's fanboys coming after me.
Yeah, I mean, that's like there's sometimes they post shit that I want to be like, oh, fuck you. But then I know if I say that, I'm going to get roasted in some way, or form.
You're going to be on BuzzFeed in 6 months, like 23 times Wendy's came with an epic clapback.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, spill that tea, Wendy's. Like, oh my God.
I think a lot of their stuff is lame, but the fact that they countlessly body bag McDonald's, it does make me laugh a little bit.
Go off.
We should have the Nuggets guy in the pod.
Oh, fuck the Nuggets kid. No way. That guy can rot in hell. I hated him. He was like tagging Ellen and all this shit. Like, anybody who's that like fucking thirsty for attention, like, fuck off. Oh my God.
But he got what he wanted. He was gaining traction. You can't blame the dog for eating all the food if you put the food out. You got to blame the society that enables it, Ken Jack. We got to look at the Twitter sphere that made this possible. It's grotesque community of people.
I mean, you're right. I guess I'm hating the player and not the game in this situation.
What's his name? Carter something?
Dipshit loser head. I don't know. He sucks, man. He sucks. I don't know what he's doing now. He might be like...
He's eating nuggets is what he's doing.
Yeah.
Fuck
he's
him,
getting
man.
His five yeah. free nuggets per week.
They probably hate him.
Actually,
wait
a second. He got... That was like a year ago. He's almost out of his nuggets. You think he's going to go in, like, just pace around to Wendy's and just hope somebody notices him?
He's wearing, hey, I'm the, you remember me? I'm the Nuggets kid. And they're like, no.
Like, he'll lean into a table, like, were you saying something? Were you pointing at me? Like, no. Like, oh, I'm the Nuggets guy, by the way.
Sorry, kid. Nuggets machine broke.
Dude, I hate him. I hate him. He's like my public enemy number one after that publicity stunt.
Oh, man.
Carter!
That was it,
Wendy's
Carter.
Nuggets guy.
Wait, didn't we just say
on
Carter?
Ellen,
oh, I missed
coming
it.
Up next, Ellen's going to dab with Carter.
They're going to dab and then like dab like with a chicken nugget into like honey mustard.
Carter
like,
Wilkerson.
Oh, my God.
Carter Wilkerson.
Carter Wilkerson.
Oh, it's past a year, April 2017. It is past a year.
So was it free nuggets for a year? I thought it was for life.
Let's see. No, it for all- a year of free nuggets.
Oh. That, see, that's not worth the emotional work for what he went through.
Has he tweeted anything since?
For a year? The highest retweeted tweet of all time. Nuggets just for a year. For a year. A year. Dude,
guess how many followers he has, Troll?
I'm going to say he has like 1.7 million.
All right. Okay. Let's not go crazy.
108,000. I mean,
how many did he lose in the purge that happened?
And his content sucks, too. Look at his timeline. His content sucks. I'm still not sure if it's Caribbean or Caribbean. LOL, 31 retweets. Like, fuck you, dude.
Y'all ever wonder what Buzz Lightyear's hair looks like?
To be fair, that is something I've said on the
podcast. Shut up. Shut up. Don't fucking agree with this Nuggets bitch. I hate you.
I've just come to peace with the general stupidity and that I just cannot control it on Twitter.
All right.
I'm
going to tell you some of his content to make you hate him. One tweet, need someone to teach me French ASAP. Right after that, oui, amigos.
How many? Hold on. I got to do one more search and then we'll move on. How many retweets from Carter J? How many times has he asked people for shit?
Spare an upvote for Carter Wilkerson.
So he would be perfect to be the social media manager for a local radio station.
Yeah,
because they go crazy on social media. All you got to do is post one of those images. It's like, name a city in Indiana without an A in it. Bet you can't. It's like 36,000 shares.
Okay, so how many retweets is his Smockin' tweet? He tweets it at everybody. So let's see here. Since the tweet, he's done, yo, Royal Caribbean, how many retweets for free Wi-Fi because $30 a day is too damn high? Spurs, how many retweets for Spurs at Warriors tickets?
That's all he does.
Sacramento Kings, how many retweets would it take to own your team? Here you go. Yo, LeVar Big Baller, how many retweets to be a big baller?
Dude.
It just goes on. Yo, Migos, how many retweets to be the fourth member of Migos? It's like, I mean, it's his brand, which I almost respect. But at the same time,
he's a fucking pay pig for retweets. He's begging grifting, for retweets.
The grifting economy.
Please, I'll cash wrap you $20 right now for a retweet. Please.
Yo, Luis Fonsi, how many retweets for Despacito 2?
Shut up. God. It's the fucking worst.
Wait, why does he have... Yo, Wendy's, how many tweets? Oh, okay. That's right. The one he asked for the free... Chicken Nuggets got 103,000 retweets. It was the one where he took the picture of them saying 18 million. Yeah. Oh boy. You never know what to expect in this pod, and I didn't think that we would talk about the Nuggets kid.
Fucking Nuggets kid. Now I'm thinking about the fucking Wings kid.
Oh,
the best
God.
Picture of all time. That guy, Wings kid, deserves way more like free food than fucking Nuggets kid ever deserved.
Yep.
Fucking, yep. I'm tweeting Wings Kid right now. I love that guy.
So we've gone long on news. We have to talk about one more movie. That's Godzilla, King of Monsters. We didn't talk about it last episode. No trailer yet. However, there is a poster.
Oh, it wasn't Wings Kid. It was Ribs Kid. Sorry.
Ribs Kid. A poster. Looks pretty cool. There was a teaser video, which I can't find anymore. I saw it all day. Like, people were tweeting about it. And then when I got done editing, I finally went to go watch it. It was gone. So I don't know what the deal with the teaser is, but apparently there's going to be a trailer during the during Comic-Con this weekend. So do we? Hi, Trill. Trill just went to get the baby.
Oh, screaming.
I can't hear you. There it is.
All right, I gotta mute it real quick.
That's me talking about Wings Kid.
Okay, yes,
Nugget Kid.
Trill's going to be a dad. He'll be back in a second. Okay, so Godzilla, King of Monsters, Kyle Chandler is in it. Vera Farmiga's in it. Millie Bobby Brown is in it, which is, I think, what a lot of people are getting very excited for, is seeing her in a big role like this, other than Stranger Things. Bradley Whitford, Sally Hawkins, Thomas Middleditch is in this movie as a doctor, which I assume is going to be like a goofy doctor. That's,
has to be.
I mean, yeah. And then O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s in it. There's a lot of people in it. And it is a direct follow-up of the first Godzilla that came out a few years ago. Mothra, rodents, like all, however you say it, all those big monsters. It sounds like they're going to be in this, at least from what I'm seeing, but there's going to be a trailer coming out this weekend. Did we like Godzilla? Have we talked about the Godzilla from a few years ago?
The Cranston one?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
It was all right.
It was okay. Like, the picture's really cool of Godzilla, like, shooting the laser or his, like, fire breath or whatever the fuck it is into the sky.
Yeah.
That looks cool. I just, again, this is one I'm not too excited for, but I feel like, oh, Bradley Whitford's in this, too. Love Bradley Whitford. Josh Lyman.
How did we feel about 1998 Godzilla?
Hell yeah.
I mean,
Doritos,
look,
baby.
When we get so
Matthew Broderick.
We're
when
doing...
I think of Godzilla, I think of Matthew Broderick.
And remember, it looked like a Jurassic Park dinosaur because Jurassic Park was still very popular, and they wanted to change Godzilla to look like more like a Jurassic Park dinosaur. When we talk about 1998, because we're starting a new segment this week where we talk about top five must see movies from every year. Godzilla may make my list. It's a must see movie, but you know, not for the great reasons. But anyway, like. If they do this movie right, it could be fucking awesome. I will say that. Like, I'm very cautious because, like, I don't have high expectations. But if they do, like, nail this, it could be, I mean, it could be a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it looks awesome from what we've seen so far. Promo seems cool. The cast seems cool. I like the concept of Godzilla. I didn't see the last one because I was so soured by the 1998 Godzilla. It just lasted 15 years for me to get over it. But I'm willing to make peace with Godzilla. If this movie is good.
Yeah, I think the last one was okay. Do you remember they went through that weird like thing that went through the core of the Earth and there was like a zero-G scene or something? It was, I think, right? Or am I making that up?
What? Are you thinking of the movie The Core?
No,
that was
Center
of the
Earth. Do you remember that movie? The Core?
I don't remember the zero-G. I mean,
is that Aaron Eckhart?
I only saw that movie once, but I do know there was not a lot of Godzilla.
Yeah.
That was the big complaint from people. There was not a lot of Godzilla. I assume there's going to be a lot of Godzilla in this movie.
I mean, I hope so. I thought that the poster art looked pretty good. I mean, it's Godzilla. We're going to see it. And just like you're saying, it's going to be a must-see movie just because it's such a huge property name.
It's Godzilla.
I have an appeal to Epic Records and Sony Music right here on the podcast. Please put the Godzilla 1998 soundtrack on streaming Apple Music. Because I want to listen to Come With Me by Puff Daddy featuring Jimmy Page.
Noted. We're adding this to the log.
I actually thought you were about to sing just now, but you sneezed. That was very disappointing. I thought you were about to break out in the song.
No, I had to sneeze. But Come With Me, horrible song, but it's Kashmir just with Puff Daddy over it. So it's kind of cool.
I think we have talked about Godzilla 98. Well, at least that one a lot. Mm. Because I brought up, I know we did in our nostalgia talk, the Taco Bell Chihuahua commercials.
The marketing for that movie was insane.
Yeah, it was nuts. Probably, I would say, outside of the new Star Wars, probably the most marketed movie of all time that I remember. The Star Wars prequels and Star Wars, obviously, but that's like different. This is a standalone movie. It ended up being one. I don't think that was the intention initially. I think they wanted it to be more, but it was not good. It was a huge bust. Okay, so that's a movie. That's probably the longest movie news we've ever had. But we had to recap. We had to talk about trailers. People get really mad and we don't talk about certain movies. I feel bad. We try our best.
And the rest is written.
Yeah, the rest is written. You can always find them on BarstoolSports.com. Ken Jack does a trailer recap every Friday.
Yeah.
He grinds it out.
They take a long time.
They do. Yeah.
They do a lot of Lincoln.
Next week, we're going to be seeing Mamma Mia. Here we go again. We're going to be reviewing it. Mamma Mia 2, which has dynamite reviews.
Yes.
Massive reviews.
I'm so excited.
Because the first one is not a very well-reviewed movie. People like the music. It's ABBA, whatever. Not a good movie. This one's apparently a good movie. What started out as a satirical trumpeting for this movie has now led me into really wanting to see this. I'm seeing an IMAX on Thursday night. I can't fucking wait. I'm pumped.
Single biggest reason I am excited about this movie is I cannot fucking wait to hear Pierce Brosnan try to sing again.
Yeah, hell
one of the greatest moments in cinematic history is when Pierce Brosnan tries to sing in Mamma Mia. And Pierce Brosnan, it's like God said, I am going to make you super attractive, but I am not giving you any vocal talent. And he's like, I will take that deal.
It has an 87% of Rotten Tomatoes right now from critics, which we know doesn't always mean much. But this is the consensus. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again doubles down on just about everything fans loved about the original. And my, how can fans resist it? We'll see. I'm excited. You know what? It's going to be a fun movie. I don't think it's going to be boring. I'm probably going to enjoy it, whether I think it's a good movie or not, and just walk out of it pleased. Equalizer 2, we're also going to review next week. I think.
Hell yeah.
I think Fights might come on to review with us.
He should. He's a, like a huge Equalizer
We booked
fan,
a lot of people. Yeah, we've booked a lot of people to come on here at Barstool. Casey Smith, Jared Carabas, they're all going to come on. Donnie, Francis. I haven't told them that we record at night, so...
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
they all do their stuff during the day, so we'll cross that bridge. But I know, Fight's a massive Mamma Mia fan.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's pumped for that. So Equalizer 2, which I have a friend who saw it, and they said they liked it better than the first Equalizer, even though it's not getting great reviews.
I want to add something else to Mamma Mia. They are reusing songs.
Oh, yeah. It's on Why? Spotify. I've listened to the whole thing already.
Yeah, so they got Mamma Mia back, which, I mean, you had to do that again. But Dancing Queen is back and Super Trooper is back.
But the difference is Lily James is singing these songs. Because Lily James plays different Meryl Streep.
Yeah, different set pieces. I mean, different context. So I appreciate it. But I don't mind that because I want to hear the hits.
This
I want
to
hear the hits.
Oh, yeah, me too. This is the test. This is the test for the audience. How dedicated are you to this podcast? This is the first movie where I truly think almost none of our listeners would probably go and see this movie.
Go out of the way to see. I don't.
We
think
do
so.
A female listener, so I'm not saying it's like I know this
females
is this
like
is,
musicals. Huh?
This is much. Well, it's much more of a that's the demographic. It's a female demographic. Like the original core demographic of our podcast was not that. So I'm not sure that they would have gone and seen this movie. They saw like Life of the Party, which did we even review that movie?
I don't know. We saw it. We certainly saw it.
The Amy Schumer one as well. I think this is going to test the will of our OG demographic, which was not quite as diverse in terms of male and female. So we'll see. There's people tweeting us already, like, we're only seeing this movie because you're reviewing it. So I'm excited. It'll be a fun review next week, needless to say.
I think you'll end up liking it. I was shocked. I do like musicals, but I never thought I would like an ABBA musical, and I did like the first Mamma Mia. And this one's supposedly better.
Yeah.
Which is, just great.
Yeah. It's all you can ask for. Okay.
Mamma Mia!
We have to stop. This is the longest 50 minutes of news. I got to talk about Skyscraper when we have our new segment. But first, when we call Trill, it costs a lot of money. It really does. Especially with these big companies, AT&T, Verizon, costs a lot of money to make these long-distance phone calls. We had to figure out a way to cut down on our wireless bill. And did you know that you could cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month?
How so?
Introducing to you Mint Mobile, which we were given this, gave it a try. It's great. Game-changing company that's taken everything wrong with big wireless and made it right. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. You can keep your old phone along with all your existing contacts, everything. Choose between 2, 5, or 10 gigabyte 4G LTE plans. Every plan comes with unlimited talk and text, so you can safely annoy your friends and loved ones. Great deals, $15 a month. I mean, that's 100% satisfaction guarantee. So get your wireless plan, your new one, for just $15 a month, plus free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card. Go to mintmobile.com/lights. That's mintmobile.com/lights. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and get free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card at mintmobile.com/lights. We have an interview, but we're going to get to that after. We're going to interview Skyscraper first, then we have an interview. We have a new mascot, really the tax-evading film reel. He is here in studio. He's not actually ready to go yet. I'm not sure what he's doing. Probably something illegal. He's kind of a piece of shit, so we're just going to warn you now.
Really?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
You know what I heard he's doing? I heard he's using the Keurig machine, and he's using the reusable cups.
Oh,
isn't that obnoxious? That's the entire point of the Keurig machine, is to not worry about the mess.
Exactly.
And he's using the reusable cup. Unbelievable.
Asshole. Piece of shit. Okay, this is a spoiler review for Skyscraper, mostly because we ran out of time. So if you want to see Skyscraper and you don't want anything spoiled, you got to skip ahead. Insert the time code right here.
To avoid spoilers for Skyscraper, skip to 55:39. Also, you can hear in the background, I'm watching guys' grocery games.
All right, Skyscraper, starring The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, directed by Ross and Thurber, who we interviewed last week. This is the big test for us, because many people said, are you guys going to be fair about this movie, or are you going to be biased because you reviewed it? Look, we're going to review the movie like most critics who interview, the directors, actors, etc. It doesn't take away from, the people that they are. Saw the movie. It's about The Rock, as we mentioned last week. He's an amputee. He is ex-Special Forces, and he loses ex-Special Forces, right? He loses his leg, and now he is doing security for buildings, and he's going to the most high-tech, tallest skyscraper in the world. His family's in there. It's set ablaze. He obviously saved the day. In the end, it's, you know, it takes a lot from Die Hard, Towering Inferno, movies like that, like these action, The Fugitives, another one that Ross and Thurber mentioned to us. Great interview, by the way. You can go back and listen to last week's episode if you missed it. He prefaced it with this. I'm going to splice in right now the comment that he made to us about what to expect with this movie.
So he's got to figure out how to get into the building, stop the bad guys, clear his name, get his family, and get out. So it's not Shakespeare, but we hope you enjoy it. It's a down-the-middle Americana cheeseburger.
I think that's a fair comment. Like, they didn't make this movie like, this is going to be the Oscar movie for The Rock. You know, they know that. It's a summer blockbuster popcorn movie. It was fine. There's some people who really fucking hate this movie. I don't agree with that. Still don't think it was that great. It doesn't get a buttered score from me. I gave it a 64. It's a fun time. I had a good time with it in the theater. It's good action. It's still engaging. Like, this is a movie that will be on cable TV and people will watch, I think. I think it's a movie that when you see it, oh, it's The Rock. It's explosions. It's him doing crazy shit. I thought it was okay. Well, less than okay, but it was serviceable. I wasn't mad that I used one of my AMC tickets for it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I gave it a 65, so pretty close to your score. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I, you know, if we go back to prior reviews, I didn't like it as much as Sicario. And we said a lot of negative things about Sicario. I don't think there's much negative for me to say about this movie, because even the director pretty much said it is what it is. It's an action flick. It's an homage to Die Hard, to Towering Inferno, to 80s, 90s action movies. And it's enjoyable. And I kind of thought it was one of Dwayne Johnson's more enjoyable roles. When Thurber said he plays more of a vulnerable character, you kind of did see that come through, because he's getting his ass kicked pretty much in every scene. What I didn't like about it is Act One felt like 80 minutes. And it took a while to get to the action. And once you started getting to the action, it started becoming more of an entertaining movie. What I did like about it, you know, not only with Dwayne Johnson's performance, but I liked the building. It was a really cool setup. I liked some of the concepts in the buildings that served as the set pieces for the movies. So overall, you know, 65 isn't horrible. It's not buttered, but it's still worth a watch. Either still go see it or catch it on demand or watch it on TV. But you can tell. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to wax poetic about this movie much more than that.
And it's a Rock movie. If you like The Rock, I mean, I liked it better than Rampage. I'll tell you that right now.
I thought it was better than Rampage.
Definitely stupid ass movie. Yeah. Okay. Continue.
I forget what I rated Rampage, but I would adjust my Rampage score to be 10 worse than this movie if that's the criteria.
Yeah, I gave it a 76. I think I liked it more than you guys. It's definitely not like an overall like Oscar winner like you guys are saying. But Ross and Thurber, he told us that he's like, it's not going to be Shakespeare or anything like that. It's going to be his homage to 80s, 90s action flicks, and I don't think that there's any way it could have been better than what it was. It was that exactly that. It was a perfect summer blockbuster, and it was the archetype to a summer blockbuster. Like, it hit every single mark you could ever want for that exact genre, and so I think that it was a great job. I think the action was great. The CGI, like a lot of this movie was CGI, like an insane amount.
That'll be one of my criticisms in a second.
But I think the CGI looked good. Like, it didn't look bad at any point where I was like, wow, that's so unbelievable, or oh, that looks so shitty, especially considering the sheer volume that is involved in this movie. I think it looked good. Like Troll was saying, I think the tower and the setting and everything else like that looked great. The actual fight scenes were cool, especially because in obviously Dwayne Johnson in the movie plays a handicapped character, and his fight style is sort of adapted to reflect that. And he also, like we mentioned before with the vulnerability, he is getting the shit beat out of him all the time, which is a new sort of role for The Rock. Like, that's usually it's him just knocking the shit out of everybody, like this destroyer of men, hyperbolic. And in this, he's vulnerable. He's getting beat up, and he has to find new and innovative ways to try and, like, get out of these jams. And I think the height scenes, especially for me as someone who doesn't like heights, it definitely hit the mark with making me, like, my hands were sweating like crazy during some of the scenes, especially when he had mentioned the climb near the fan. When he looks down, especially in 3D, my hands are sweating, like, nuts. And I think you tweeted it up, my BPM got up to like solid 83. Not terrible, right?
I mean, you didn't flatline.
Didn't flatline, but I came sort of close.
I'm flatlining.
I got a. I think it was one of DJ's better roles, like he mentioned, it was going to be Neve Campbell, right? It's Neve.
Nev.
It's Nev.
Okay, so Nev Campbell, I thought was awesome.
I can excuse that though, because you were born in 1993, and Scream came out 4 years later.
There's also Neve from Catfish, who's now that's where I look the name as. But yeah, so Nev Campbell was awesome. She was like super badass. I thought she was going to be more of like an aside piece, which I would have hated. And I thought she was cool. The fight scenes that she had with the bad guy, that it was a dude from Game of Thrones. I forget his name. Noah Taylor. So her fight scene with him was really good. She was like a combat medic or something, and she was like just a really over like the mother protecting her cubs type mentality, which is great. And I thought the villain maybe was the weakest part. So it was Roland Miller, who was sort of like a knockoff Mads Mikkelsen combined with Hans Gruber.
Villain was not good.
Yeah, and like their motives and their methodology, neither of which were really good. Like he's like, okay, my motives are like I need to get like your well, I guess we shouldn't spoil it, right? Are we in spoilers?
Yeah, the whole thing is spoiler.
Okay, so yeah, his motives of wanting to get this list back, like this, what was the knock list essentially of bad guys? He wanted to get that list, but his methodology was to like make the biggest spectacle on the entire earth, and that will be on every single news cycle. Like that's his method. Like that seems dumb, but that's again 80s 90s action flick. But I agree with Troll that the beginning was maybe a little bit long, but I think the intro scene sort of made up for that because, like, you get a guy blowing himself up within, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie, which is pretty out of nowhere. But it was definitely paced a little poorly after that. But the whole, I think, second and third act were done really well, and I didn't have any complaints of the pacing.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I had fun with it, but it has plenty of flaws. It's rated above movies, like, from this year, just for reference. Maze Runner. Pacific Rim Uprising, Wrinkle in Time, like it's rated above those movies just a slight bit because I mean again I was more entertained by this movie. I thought they did a better job at what its goal was in entertaining, and you know I just again it was an homage to those movies, but it didn't quite pack the punch. There's two things that stick out, at least for me. The villain, really tough. I mean, Hans Gruber is a big reason why Die Hard is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that role from Alan Rickman's incredible. It's written so well. He's menacing. He's a top villain of all time. He's one of the best villains of all time.
Yeah.
So to have kind of basically a throwaway villain, in essence, I mean, the villain did nothing for me.
He would have been a good henchman.
Sure, yeah.
But not a good main.
Not a good main villain. The other thing was, it wasn't... And, Troll, you're a big Rock guy. I wonder if you can attest to this, is that it wasn't... It wasn't fun enough, I think. I don't think it was fun enough for a movie with DJ, and that's a big thing with Die Hard as well. Die Hard is a lot of fun. Die Hard's a real fun movie. There's a lot of humor in it, you know, at least for an action movie that's as brutal as that one. Like, it cuts into the tension a lot. I think this one got a little too serious, and I actually saw someone on a Reddit say almost the exact same thing. Said the movie took itself a little too seriously at times. I think that was part of the problem, which I would have liked from a director who does comedy, for there have been a little more comedy in it, a little more fun with The Rock. Because when The Rock gets funny, I think it raises his roles up a little more. So those are the two big things for me. That's what knocked it down into a movie that, for me, is not buttered.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Villain, I don't know why they didn't just use Zhao as the villain. You thought he was going to be the villain at first, and then it turned around and he ended up being kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been more of a compelling like villain, because I liked his screen presence more than Roland Mueller, who just wasn't much of anything. Not to his acting faults. It's just the I don't know. There's not enough time for that many characters, I think, in this type of film. And it's not fun. I mean, it's fun from a sense of like, it's one action packed thing after another once you get to act two and act three. But yeah, I mean, you got Dwayne Johnson, you know, he could let a few wisecracks out here and there, especially if it is an homage to a 90s action flick.
Yeah. Let me add to what I said, cause I said the movie was fun. It's a fun movie to watch, but like the script isn't a fun script. Like it just, the story isn't the fun that I would want it to have. Like that's what would elevate it from just a fun watch to something that like is incredibly enjoyable and engage you from start to finish in terms of like a really good movie. So that's what it was missing, which is again disappointing considering the team up there. again, entertained in the theater, but it lacked a lot of what the movie was trying to pay homage to. Die Hard had like a lot of it. I mentioned I was in to talk about it in the review, but two were relying on CGI, and not in a way that like a Mad Max where it makes a movie better. I think part of what makes Die Hard, I'll go back to that movie as well because we mentioned it so much with this movie, is that Die Hard is very gritty looking and very real and rugged, and that's because, I mean, it's there's little to no CGI, I would assume, in that movie. In the grand scheme of things, it's a very prop and set heavy movie. So another detractor from the movie for me in that sense. It's right up along those movies like Maze Runner, like I said, from this year, that they're not bad, but they're just not, they're not in the good category. They miss some marks. I gave it a 64. Troll gave it a 65. Kenjik, what did you give it again?
76.
And then our listeners gave it 67. And by the listeners, I meant audience. I'll get used to that. Audience score 67. So right around where Trill and I have it. That's Skyscraper. Kendrick and I also saw Eighth Grade, which we're going to review tomorrow. Yep. Do we want to debut our grades exclusively on the podcast right now for Eighth Grade?
Yeah.
We also saw Leave No Trace. Leave No Trace we'll release in the review tomorrow. But you want to debut the first score?
For Eighth Grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it a 90.
I gave Eighth Grade a 95.
Wow.
Listeners...
Damn.
I gave it a 95. Listeners gave it a 96. It is right now Ooh. The best movie of the year, according to our audience.
Wow.
Fuck, I meant audience. So we'll see. That'll Damn. Likely move down a little bit, because those are people who have seen the movie very much ahead of everyone else, because we haven't publicized that a lot to vote. So when the vote goes up in our review tomorrow, we'll have more votes. May go down, but right now it's at a 96 from the audience. So Eighth Grade, big, big, big time suggestions. They will Leave No Trace, but we'll review those two and written chat about Skyscraper tomorrow on BarstoolSports.com. It's time to interview, really. Trill, wait, something going on? Do you have to step out for a second?
Yeah, you heard the baby crying earlier, and she won't stop. So I'm going to go upstairs and help my wife out.
Shit.
I'll come cool. back when
okay.
Sounds good.
When the interview's over, conveniently.
Do you want us to say hi to really for you, or he can go fuck himself?
No, just I don't want to be associated with him, honestly, at this point. I feel like it's a gigantic liability to all of us.
Yeah, I wouldn't want my name attached to him either. He's just a piece of shit.
Okay.
Well, are we paying him?
Oh.
We're paying him, right?
Well, yeah, we're in a 2-year contract with Reilly.
Oh, see, so we're going to be called to court if he gets caught.
Look, we were told that we have bits that don't run long enough, so we signed into a 2-year deal. We locked him in for longer, so we locked ourselves in. But you can go take care All of the right. baby. Really in the studio right now. What's going on? Oh, coming in. Come on, you piece of shit. Okay, really, what's going on, man?
Here it comes.
Hey, everybody. I'm really. I'm really. Hi, Jeff. Nice haircut. Where'd you get it? This week. Hey, Kenjack. Hi, I'm really.
Hey, really.
Hi, I'm really.
So really, you'll be joining us periodically to tell us about your adventures in cinema. You're also going to be doing your first Kids Club event next week. You're here, your outreach for the youth of the pod. We do have a lot of people who have kids who listen to this podcast. Your co-host on this pod here, folks, Trill Ballins, he is a child. So we need a Kids Club established for the pod. You'll be doing some events. Really, what did you think about Skyscraper?
See Skyscraper, but I want to go back to talking about the Kids Club. I'm really going to be sitting with the kids and teaching them about taking unqualified deductions on their W-9.
You can't fucking do that.
That doesn't seem right. That doesn't. We hired you to you know help people you know talk about movies and promote
For
movies
community
in the pod.
Outreach.
Yeah, community outreach. This is a tough.
That's
one.
What I'm doing. I'm promoting Lights, Camera, podcast, Barstool, whatever it is.
Right. Oh, my God.
Well, but I'm going out with the Kids Club and teaching them all about the podcast and also never mind. None.
Well, so why, you're the tax-evading film reel, and I just want to mention that we do have a little bit of a problem with that because, you know, taxes go towards important services. I mean, police, roads, firefighters, like... I like the film reel part. Can't you just be really the film reel? Why are you really the tax-evading film reel?
Well, first off, let me address that head-on. I don't like to consider it tax evasion so much as finding loopholes in an existing system, such as declaring offshore investment losses against future capital gains. It's a system that's not illegal if you don't get caught.
All right.
Okay. Get back on track.
You're under contract.
I'm just saying.
Can't be implicated.
Like, I feel like all these allegations are a little
harsh. All right, shut the fuck up. All right, stop.
Really, just you got to shut up now.
Get us in trouble here.
We hired you to talk
all
about
right,
movies.
So, yeah, you're getting way off topic. One last thing. We talked about Godzilla. Godzilla is going to be debuting, potentially a trailer at Comic-Con. Any thoughts on that, really? Just Godzilla.
Well, Godzilla, I have to say that the major takeaway from production is that if I was a production company, I would create an LLC in Delaware and then collect all the earnings towards that LLC. That's my takeaway from
that.
All right,
fucking do that. Get the fuck out.
The government provides important services.
Fucking get the fuck out.
I'll see you guys next 2 weeks.
No, next week. No, next week. You better show up on time, too.
Yeah.
God, motherfucker.
Hey, I got a quick question.
What?
What's Trill's kid's social security number?
Get out.
All right, see you guys. I like to watch movies and I like the pod. It's really the tax evading.
Oh, Trill, you're back? Okay, good timing. You missed a doozy. He asked for your kid's social security number.
Oh, my God. He would.
Disastrous first appearance by... Oh, really?
Knocked over Ken Jack's water on the way
he
out.
Did.
Almost fucking ruined his phone.
I think it was on purpose.
Yeah, I don't think
that was an accident.
Yeah, that film strip is on the right side of him, and he managed to spin all the way around and knock over the... What a asshole, man.
Smells like shit.
Yeah, he does.
He says his jingle says he likes to watch movies, but he doesn't know a single thing about movies.
Didn't even see Skyscraper.
All he knows is financial crimes.
It's unbelievable. This film reel, this sentient film reel,
it's
gets
crazy.
Away with so much just because he's cute.
Yeah. Oh, man. Fucking really. Well, really, we'll be back next week. For those of you who are part of the community outreach program we have here for the Kids Club event. So we'll have more on that next week. Moving on. We have a segment we're about to start that's going to go for the next 38 weeks.
Always good to premeditate that.
I told Mikey, the guy that runs podcasts here, Mikey, and I told PFT, and they weren't like... against the idea, but when I said we're going to do a 38 week series, they were like, wow, okay. So if we have interviews and we have like special segments, like when James comes on Mr. Sunday Movies, we're not going to do this. We'll do a rankings like that thing. So we're going to have this, but it's going to span probably the next year. We get asked, the question we get asked more than anything is a suggestion for a movie, and they're like, we want to know older movies from different years, not just this current year or 2017 when we started, which we actually started almost a year ago, coming up very soon. We'll do a big thing for our anniversary.
You have to, yeah.
And I'm saying that now, and we'll probably forget and not do it. But just for now, we'll do something. So we're going to start with 1980 because we wanted a year with like a lot of good movies to start with. We're going to start with 1980, and you will vote. The audience votes. You vote for your top five. It's top five must-see movies from blank year. We're doing 1980. It does not mean best. It just means a movie you can't miss from this year. That's what we're trying to give you. We're trying to give you a good list of movies that you have to see if you haven't seen them from this year. Empire Strikes Back will probably be on most lists here. How it's going to work. But you have to say like the best movie you think is there as well, along with some other ones, maybe some diamonds in the rough. May happen, may not. This may be a 38-week segment that ends after 1 or 2 weeks, but we're going to give it a try. Top five must-see movies from 1980. We're starting with 1980, going all the way up to 2016, because we already did 2017. If you want to know what we liked from that year, go back and listen to some old podcasts. Started out, Ken Jack, your number five must-see from 1980.
And number five is Caddyshack. It's one of the quintessential comedies of all time, and if you haven't seen it by this point, you're really missing out. It's referenced all the time in current comedies. The source material, I think, is an inspiration for a lot of ones that come out now. And I don't know, just... Chevy Chase, Dangerfield at their best, Murray at his best. It's great stuff.
I've never done like a all-time comedy rankings for myself, but it would probably be top two favorite comedy of all time. Superbad probably number one. Oh, that's tough. Caddyshack is so fucking funny. I mean, there are so many quotable lines in that movie, and it's one of those older ones that I feel like you hear Superbad talked about all the time, like. Caddyshack, it's not like Caddyshack's an unknown movie, but like Caddyshack deserves as much love as any comedy ever. It is so damn funny.
Yeah.
My number five. Okay, so this lends to what I was saying. You don't always have to pick the best. You just got to pick a movie that that is a must-see. So I'm picking the 1980 classic movie Popeye, starring Robin Williams. Wow. Have you guys seen this movie?
Yes.
It's a long time ago.
It is fucking horrifying, right? It's one of the most terrifying movies I've ever seen. Does not have great reviews. Rob Williams, Popeye. He does a decent job as Popeye, but the makeup and like for his muscles and arms, it's really weird. I mean, it's one of the strangest movies to look at that I've ever seen, but I think it is a must-watch movie. Like, I think you have to see this movie at least once. Olive Oil, super creepy in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I don't know a ton about Popeye. Like, I know Popeye is a sailor. He eats spinach and gets strong. I know there's a really shitty ride at Universal Studios that gets you like super wet when you probably really don't want to. That's Popeye. You got to look it up. If you're listening right now and you want to pause it for a second, I highly suggest you go look at clips or pictures from the 1980 movie Popeye, because just that alone, it's horrifying. It's a horrifying movie. So my number five is Popeye from 1980. Trill Ballins, what's your number five?
Okay, so I got to say my first three, I think they're must watch, because in order to have any sort of conversation with your coworkers who are over the age of 50, if you watch these movies, you'll get about 70% of the jokes they make, okay? So my number five is Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers by itself is a great movie. Aykroyd and Belushi, maybe their best known role. I mean, together, definitely their best known role. One of their best known roles. The Cab Calloway scene is like one of my favorite scenes in movies, the Minnie the Moocher song. So got to put that one in there. It's a good movie. It's a great comedy, but a lot of baby boomer humor comes from this movie.
That's very true. They love Blues Brothers, which I do too. Maybe it'll be on my list. Listeners. Damn, I'm going to get it. It's audience now. We've repurposed. I've been getting some shit on Reddit, deservedly so. The audience, they're number five. It was on 23% of all ballots, Caddyshack. Caddyshack as well. So here's the thing I think is going to happen with this segment. We may skip to 1990 because I feel like it's harder to find diamonds in the rough because we're not as quite familiar, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see
28
how it
goes. 28 weeks.
28
one,
weeks.
One down almost.
But yeah, Caddyshack's great. Al Cervic, I mean, one of the best comedy characters of all time. Maybe my favorite. Does that hat come with a bowl of soup? I mean, just that whole interaction is
so good.
Fantastic. Ken Jack, number four.
My number four is the movie Airplane. Leslie Nielsen is one of my favorite comedic actors of all time. There's so many iconic comedy quotes in that. Like, Don't Call Me Shirley, I think, is one of the most widely recognized comedy lines like in history, and it's one that I think still holds weight now, where like you could watch it now and still get a ton of laughs out of it, even though it was made like fucking 30 years ago. Like it's a long time, so I don't know, just it's a classic, another comedy classic.
Yeah, Airplane's great, and I'll never forget that Leslie Nielsen did the "I just want to tell you both good luck, we're all counting on you" line in Scary Movie 3.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. That's when
I totally forgot he was in that.
The same movie where he pees out of his finger at the end.
Oh.
Just one of the best marks on Leslie Nielsen's career. My number four, also Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers is, I think, true. You nailed it. It is older person water cooler talk.
Oh, yeah. It's my dad's favorite movie of all time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, all the references. All of them. Whenever you get like an older person talking about movies, or you say like a recent one, they always find a way to relate it back to a movie they saw as a kid.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll do one day. Like, we'll talk to our kids about comedy movies, be like, yeah, back in my day, we had Superbad, though. I mean, Superbad. That's a comedy. So, Blues Brothers, my number four. Trill Ballins, what's your number four? More water cooler talk.
Still water cooler talk. Airplane. Perfect humor movie for, and just in general, great movie in general, but everybody sticks with the movies they are raised up under. The Shirley line I've heard so many times. Oh my God. The funniest thing in Airplane to me is Otto the inflatable pilot.
Oh yeah.
He looks fucking hilarious. Like, they nailed that one. Like, just the dumb smirk on its face is great. And a solid Kareem Abdul-Jabbar role too.
Yeah. He was pretty good in that. That the whole movie, I think, was just a perfect spoof comedy.
Oh, it's a perfect comedy. It's up there. It's an easy 90s. I haven't rated that movie ever, but it's an easy 90s. It's just straight up hilarious.
Ted Strike.
Audience, number four, Raging Bull. Raging Bull from the audience, which that's another dad movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Raging Bull is a super dad movie. We talked about dad movies not too long ago. Very dad movie.
I need to say, though, like, Raging Bull is better than the first three movies on my list. So from an inclusion in terms of a good movie standpoint, like, I absolutely agree with that pick.
Oh, yeah. Raging Bull is not on my list. But I mean, it's a must see in terms of like how good it is. But I don't know. I just didn't make my list. I tried to diversify a little bit. Ken Jack, what's your number three?
My number three is Raging Bull. It's not my favorite movie, and it's not my favorite Scorsese movie either, but it's like a quintessential Scorsese movie, who's one of the most influential directors of the period ever. It's one of Robert De Niro's defining roles. Joe Pesci's in it, too. A couple of those, like Italian guys like Frank Vincent. It's one of those things you have to see it to be considered like somebody who's like into cinema. Like, oh, you didn't see Raging Bull? You don't know good movies. Like, it's one of those ones you just need to you need to have base knowledge of.
Yeah, you get embarrassed if you haven't seen it. It's one of the ones where if you probably haven't seen it, you lie.
Yeah, exactly.
like Raging Bull. And you just hope they don't ask you a question about it.
Exactly. And I'm just it never really moved the needle for me too much, but like it is technically a good movie, but it's one of those things you just need to see. You need to see it once, I think. Never again, but once is enough.
My number three. Here you go. Off the rails a little bit here. Flash Gordon.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Flash Gordon.
Flash.
Yeah. I mean, just for that alone, you have to see it. Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, who has a great cameo in Ted, by the way, as Flash Gordon, basically.
You guys want a new Coke or something?
Yeah. Flash Gordon. It's a decently rated movie in terms of like how people feel about it. I mean, like, for what it is. I mean, it's everything that I wish movies in this genre would do these days. Like, doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a fun movie. It's a good time. I think it's a must-see. It's a must-see when you talk about nostalgic 80s stuff and 80s movies, older movies. Flash, easy pick for me. Excuse me, Flash Gordon, not The Flash. I didn't mean The Flash.
It's coming out soon.
Flash Gordon.
2 years probably, but still.
Yeah. Trill, what's your number three?
Caddyshack. What can be said about Caddyshack that hasn't been said already? If you golf with somebody over the age of 50, they're going to make a Caddyshack reference.
It's true. If you don't putt within 2 seconds, you're going to get a, well, we're waiting, without question.
What was the Douglas Kenny documentary that came out on Netflix? The one with Will Forte? A Futile and Stupid Gesture. So that was a Netflix movie that came out about Douglas Kenny, who's like he was one of the origin people for National Lampoon,
and he produced
and I think wrote most of Caddyshack. I think this is probably his best work, and he's someone like if you could like go back in time and like stop someone from having a young death in cinema, he might be up there for me, and like number one ish because all these National Lampoon movies are so
all the
'80s
funny. Comedians and like SNL people, just so many tragic things that people that we lost who just could have had careers that still would be living on.
Exactly.
Without question. All right. Audience number three, The Shining. Not on my list. Do we all like The Shining?
Yeah.
I like it. I don't think I don't like it as much as a lot of people seem to like it, but then again, I am not a huge like film buff. I think this is a film buff movie.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it for that. I think it's also like probably one of those movies, if you're going to film school, you study for cinematography
exactly.
and those types of things. But I don't want to say too much about it.
Yeah, like I respect it for what it is, you know, and I understand all that. And I think you're right. It's a film school movie for sure. I mean, I guess we'll go beyond that. It's an incredibly well-received movie. People love it. It's just one that like I may never honestly watch again.
Yeah. I'll say very safely, I'll never watch that again.
I just may watch that scene from
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
Yeah. But that's why I think it's important on this list. You know, one, I think people do really like this movie a lot, which I can appreciate, but it's such a culturally important movie
exactly.
or pop culturally important movie that you get the references. You know, here's Johnny. You get, you know, you see the Overlook Hotel. You get the setting immediately. They wouldn't even have to say it in the movie, even though they did. So I get it.
Yeah,
Red Rum, all those things.
That landmark is a good
horror
point.
It's a landmark horror movie, too.
Yeah, that's up there with Raging Bull as well. Maybe even more so than Raging Bull, honestly. Yeah. Because of even just like Here's Johnny and like that famous scene. Ken Jack, number two.
Number two is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones is one of my favorite franchises of all time. We've been talking a ton of news about how it might get a fifth installment, which I'm super hyped up for. Raiders is obviously the start. Harrison Ford, it's an amazing role. The whole scene at the end where they melted, when I watched that when I was a kid, I forget how old I was when I watched it, like 8 years old or something. That scene haunted my fucking nightmares for like a very long time.
I got some bad news for you, Ken Jack.
Yeah, I was about to give it to him as well.
What?
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark came out June 12th, 1981.
Did it really? It was on this list. Yeah. I went through like the entire wiki of 1980 movies.
Yeah, no, it was a 1981 movie. We may not even make it to 1981, so that's a good 1981 suggestion.
Oh, well, yeah. Just, so there, it's going to make my number two for 1981. I'll sub it, in.
It was being filmed in 1980, so, I mean, technically...
It's a 1980 movie in some respects.
I'm just going to sub it in with my number six and just do The Shining then, because it's like we said before. It's, like, it's not like my favorite movie by any means. You guys know I'm not a horror person at all. It's just one that's like, it's so heavily ingrained in the cultural lexicon for cinema that you need to see it.
All right, so The Shining, number two for Trill Ball. Number two for me, Caddyshack. I already mentioned it. Al Cervic, probably my favorite comedic character of all time, and it goes far beyond that. I mean, the movie from start to finish is so funny. So many different storylines. It's the Avengers before the Avengers. Different characters. Storylines woven together. It's just, it's a classic. And I like didn't want to like it when I was a kid because my dad loved it so much as being a typical snotty kid. And then when I finally watched it, just loved it. Trill Ballins, number two.
The Shining. The Shining. Sure. What can be said that I haven't said already? I like The Shining, but I think it's left its mark on pop culture in a very significant way. So I that's why I'm including on this list. And that's in some respects, you know, a movie like Raging Bull I think is better, but I didn't include it on this list because I wanted to focus on what I think would be the most important movies to watch out of 1980.
I wonder if you all have the same number one.
Well, number two, we'll get to in a second, because I think we do. Number two for the audience, Airplane. Airplane. It's a very similar list. This is going about how I expected it. All right. On the count of three, say your number one. One, two, three.
Empire Strikes Back. Oh. Empire Strikes Back. Sorry, wrong list.
I mean, look, this defines, actually, more so than The Shining, more so than Raging Bull. It has probably one of the most quoted, if not the most quoted movie line of all time.
Look, I'm your father, yeah.
No, I'm your father. Or yeah. Though it is also probably one of the most misquoted lines in history.
Yeah, that's true.
Because people obviously say, Luke, I'm your father. That is not the line. Huh, well, actually. I mean, Empire Strikes Back. It goes beyond Star Wars. It's easily the best Star Wars, in my opinion. It goes beyond Star Wars of being like, oh, it's a Star Wars movie, just being a great movie. I wish Irvin Kershner would have directed all the Star Wars movie. Rest in peace. Passed away not too long ago. It's 100 out of 100 for me. Like, it just is. It's along with The Godfather's another 100. Toy Story's another 100. It's perfect. It's a perfect movie to me. And every Star Wars movie since that, I think, has tried to emulate it.
Yeah.
In some respect, and none have been able to do it. Which is not to say that some of them have been good, just like it's in a league of its own. What it does and what it does dramatically. Mr. Plinkett, the Red Letter Media Reviews, he says,
"There's someone who's under the age of like 20 who says his least favorite film in the series is The Empire Strikes Back because it was the most boringest one. Then I suggest you shut this review off right now. Before I carefully explain how much of a fucking idiot you are."
That's just what it is. Like, as a kid, it was my third favorite out of Return of the Jedi and A New Hope. Like, I didn't love it as much because there wasn't... It's a much deeper movie.
Yeah.
It's more character development. But, I mean, The Empire Strikes Back. Again, it goes beyond Star Wars for me. It's just a good movie.
That's part of the good thing about Kasdan is, like, he focused more on the characters. When Lucas was all about, like, oh, people don't care about development, they don't care about storylines. And Larry Kasdan... He is very much about that. Like, he's like, you need to have like these storylines and develop, and you see these people like grow and learn and mature, and that's what you get a lot of in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I mean, this is one where it is probably one of my favorite movies. But I think this is the most important movie of this year. Sorry if that offends anyone, but in terms of its impact on pop culture, I mean, if you think Here's Johnny and the Red Rum and the two little murder girls from The Shiny were parodied and, you know, parodied over again. Like, take everything that happened to Empire Strikes Back and multiply it by like 10,000.
It's true. I think it should be a unanimous number one, though, right? Between all three of us and the audience.
What do you mean?
Like, this is the unanimous number one, right? Like, I don't think that should be ever in question. Like, oh, but what about this movie? What about that movie? Like, Empire Strikes Back is the singular movie to see.
It was,
this year.
I mean, it was on 63% of the ballots. Yeah. And Airplane, which I didn't mention, Airplane was only on 35. Like, I mean, it's just, if you didn't pick this movie, what are you doing? I mean, it's an incredible movie.
It's the objectively correct pick. That's
one of my favorite movies of all time, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's this whole thing we just did. 38 week segment. We may just skip ahead to 1990. Let us know. Don't be too mean if you didn't like the segment. I mean, come on. You know, we're just trying. We're trying over here. But if you want us to skip ahead to 1990, we will do that. Because I think we'll have an easier time finding diamonds in the rough and not having too many crossovers. We won't have too many similar picks, I think. Once we get into years where we've seen more, I think we all have different, like, must-see or favorites that we think somebody should watch. All right. We'll see. That's that. Anything else, guys?
We got a good week coming up next week. I do think folks are going to enjoy Mamma Mia 2. If they think they're not going to enjoy it, I think you're going to have fun.
Why are you guys fucking homering Mamma Mia 2 so hard?
Because, I mean, it's just a fun movie. Like, the
you're
first Mamma Mia.
Are you guys being paid? Am I being, like, cut out of a deal here?
Look, we only get paid by Big Mattress or Media Mattress, I guess. So, no, you're not being cut out of any deal. But I do think this is one of these movies that the first Mamma Mia I wouldn't have seen unless I caught it on TV one day, and it ends up being fairly enjoyable. And ABBA has a lot of pretty decent bangers.
No argument there. It's just, I don't know. You guys are very excited for this movie.
I'm excited for Mamma Mia too. I'll come out and say it. I am very
excited.
You have
multiple times.
It was a joke for me at first, and now it's not anymore. It's not a joke anymore. I'm seeing an IMAX. Except the people I'm seeing it with an IMAX, they bought the tickets first. I didn't get the chance to do it. I'm sitting in the fucking middle of the theater.
Ooh.
And it's the IMAX one, which is like 90 seats.
Yeah.
And I got to pee at least once or twice in the movie. I mean, I'm fucked.
That's wild. Imagine if we had the middle seats for fucking, we saw 50 Shades Freed in IMAX. If we had the middle seats for that, I'd fucking leave.
Also, wait, I didn't even tell my story. Somebody shit on the floor in our AMC.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to hear this.
Someone shit on the floor in our AMC in the bathroom, but on the middle of the floor. I got up during eighth grade. I ran. It was like, I'm like, okay, I know this is a scene to get up and go. So I ran real quick. Somebody shit in the floor of the bathroom.
I wish I saw it. It was gone by the time we got back.
Yeah. When we left the movie, Ken Jack was like, oh, is the shit still there?
I wanted to see that shit.
No, dude. Ooh. I feel like you should have led the podcast with that. You kind of buried that story.
We had so much news, we just kind of went right, you know, head first.
Yeah, that's true.
So thanks again to our I'm not going to thank our guest. He was a real piece of shit.
Fuck really.
Yeah.
Fuck really.
Like, I'm going to thank him just because I am kind of afraid of him.
Why?
He's going to
steal from you or?
I don't know. He asked for my baby's social security number. He's a film reel who loves to break the law. Like, I don't know what he's capable of doing.
I wonder what the money's for. Do you think he's laundering for the cartels or something?
No, I just think he's greedy.
Greedy pig. Fucking piece of shit, really. I hate that guy, dude. I don't know what's in the power rankings right now, but fucking Wendy's kid, Nuggets Dick Carter, is like 1A, and this fucking really 1B. Really guy.
Really makes intern Kevin look like the most charismatic guy ever.
I know. This guy, he's fucking.
Where is intern Kevin? Oh. We don't know anymore.
Sent him on Starbucks on like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's studying abroad.
Anything else? Anything? This is the longest podcast we've done since we've been at Barstool. But any last any thoughts? Any nostalgia from Trill recently? Anything you want to touch on? By the way, the Rugrats is coming back, and they're gonna have a live action movie.
Live action is disingenuous.
That, which completely disingenuous. It's a CGI Rugrats.
Yeah,
I mean,
I wasn't a big Rugrats guy. I was a Doug guy.
Tommy Pickles.
The charm of Rugrats is that it was animated,
yeah,
too. Why are they going to CGI this shit?
I have no clue.
It had that shitty, what was that animation company that did all that similar style? I forget the name of them, but it had that like intentionally shitty look to it, which added to the charm. Yeah.
It looked like Ed, Edd n Eddy or something.
Yeah, that's, I assume it's just going to be like Lion King CGI, but if they like animate babies, I mean, that's a real like late 90s, early 2000s move. You can't do that anymore. Just show the cartoon.
I'd watch like Rugrats in Paris 2. Is there a Rugrats in Paris 2, maybe? I don't know.
Just the next Rugrats movie.
Yeah, but I'd watch Rugrats in Paris 2 before I watch that. I wonder who's going to do the voices, too.
Disappointing. It's probably going to be the same cast.
Bryce, you got to have the same cast.
It's like least. A 6-year-old female actress who does Tommy Pickles.
A 6-year-old?
60.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think you can use her then.
Yeah. As long as they bring the horny grandfather back, you know, that's all that matters. Never forget he opened up a Playboy in that show.
That's right. Yeah. Every cartoon back then needed a horny grandpa, like the grandpa from Hey Arnold, who was voraciously horny and a weird-shaped head.
It was, I forget it was, but it was like a...
Stew?
No. Some sort of adult magazine. In Rugrats. All right, that's it.
She should do the 8th grade sign-off to her videos.
For who?
For, you know, her sign-off.
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
I'll do it. Gucci... It's cringy. It's making me cringe thinking about how many times
she said
that.
A very cringeworthy movie, but it's on purpose. Bo Burnham, he liked my tweet. Maybe he'll
come on the pod.
He'll join the pod to talk about 8th grade. Go see 8th grade for sure. 100%. No questions. And leave no trace. For Trill Bonds and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office, folks. Keep me satisfied.
Say so. Just a little longer. You'll know when we get there. No reason to be scared. Nah. Come on a little stronger. I know that I'm impatient. My imagination's wandering and running wild. Can you hear that? My heart is racing. You keep up the pace. Then I might let you stay the night. I need somebody. Their hands on my body, body. Could be that somebody, body. Keep me satisfied. Hear me breathing, breathing. Don't want it, I need it, need it.